Welcome to the Reiki Show, hosted by Bronwyn and Franstina of the International House of Reiki. Bronwyn and Franz teach Reiki around the globe and are the authors of the Reiki Sourcebook, the Japanese Art of Reiki, the Reiki Techniques card deck, and the soon-to-be-released A to Z of Reiki. The music you are listening to, Reiki Khan, is available at the International House of Reiki website, www.reiki.net.au. Hi, my name's Bronwyn, and today Franz and I have with us Robert Fuersten. Robert is one of the very few Reiki people in the world who has completed some serious research into Hawaya Takata's teachings and those of her 22 teacher students. Today we'll talk about their similarities and their differences. Welcome, Robert. Which of Mrs. Takata's teacher students have you had contact with?
Oh, gosh. I'll probably forget some, but there's Harry Kaboy, Shinobu Sato, Fran Brown, John Harvey Gray, Rick Bachner, Phyllis Lee Furumoto, and I might be forgetting some of them. I'd have to actually look at the list, but quite a few of them, actually.
Yeah. How many of those have you actually studied with?
I studied with Fran Brown and John Harvey Gray. And the others, I just pretty much, you know, just talk to or ask, you know, questions about specific things.
Your specific interest is in the students of Mrs. Takata, yes?
Yes.
And what got you into researching it in the first place?
Well, I was taught that, you know, a certain way of Reiki, and then when I discovered that what I was taught was different from other people around me, I decided I really should go back as far as I could to the oldest living masters. And at that time, I thought that would be Takata's 22. So that's where I started my focus, trying to find where these 22 masters of Takata were, because no one seemed to know. So I made it kind of like my goal to find them and to find out their stories.
In the teachings that you've sort of found out about what these teachers were taught and what they teach, were there any differences in the teachings they received?
Actually, there were. There were differences in the hand positions taught. There were slight differences in some of the symbols. And, I mean, this is firsthand experience, having studied with two of them, that they do have some differences. They have differences in technique in terms of how they do a mental, emotional treatment, how they teach, just certain aspects. I mean, it's just, there are specifics like that, but there's just a general atmospheric, sensation in the class. How the style of teaching is very different as well. But in terms of the actual context, yeah, there's some differences.
What do you put that down to?
I'm pretty sure Mrs. Takata actually taught them differently. and she, I don't think, had a very strict style in terms of the content of what she taught. It was quite apparent that she would teach one student this way and another student that way, and I don't know if it was due to the individual students or if these students then later kind of forgot, you know, maybe how to draw a symbol, or because they weren't supposed to write them down and keep copies. So I'm not quite sure. There's several possibilities.
And what about the attunement process?
Oh, the attunement process. Oh, right. Yes, there actually is differences. And again, there's slight differences, but enough, having, you know, been initiated by two of them, that they were different. I always thought maybe there was one initiation that Takata did, and at least that would be similar, but it's not true.
I'm curious, were the attunements different for different levels?
the Reiki 1 initiation was different between them, and so was the Reiki 2.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to that, both those two teachers that I had did those differently.
Okay. How do you see the teachings of Mrs. DeCarter? I know that John Harvey Gray had said that she claimed to have simplified the teachings for the Western mind. Do you think that's true?
I'm starting to think more and more that that has been the case. It seemed, I'm trying to remember, John did mention that they were based on Chinese medicine, actually. The original hand positions and how to treat different conditions were based on the Chinese meridian system and that kind of thing. And so it took a while to either memorize, or there was a booklet that was given out to new students so that they would know where to go. And so Takata basically just said, I'm just going to treat everything, every time. And that seemed to work really well. And it was much easier to learn like 12 hand positions and then optional positions and to remember specific hand positions for all these different conditions or illnesses.
Well, that sort of fits in with what we know about the manuals that the Gakkai, the Japanese society, has, which may well have been Usui's manuals. And also Hayashi had a manual as well. And I guess you've probably seen both of those. And they're quite similar. And they do list hand positions for all sorts of illnesses. And, you know, it's quite,
right.
It's quite technical.
Right, it is very technical, and unless you have that manual handy, I don't know. I mean, it'd be very hard to remember, what am I going to treat for this condition, so to speak.
However, if you look at those technical hand positions, they're pretty much common sense, too.
Right, a lot of them are. They're always, sometimes they throw in an oddball hand position for something, though.
Yeah.
That you're like, really, I should treat, okay. I think Takata's way is actually preferred, just because there's no way you can't hit it, so to speak. You know, if you're treating the head and all the internal organs, I mean, you pretty much got it.
So it was a really simplified system.
Very simplified.
I guess you could say simplified. However, I understand what you're saying. It sort of touches on that profoundness of Reiki. I guess even if you missed something, it really wouldn't matter. But by just doing everything, you have a really nice, simple process that you don't have to think about, and you can really give over to the Reiki.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and I think there's other benefits besides it being easier to learn. There may be other things going on that person isn't disclosing.
Yes.
You know, so, you know, I mean, you're going to be treating, like I said, all the organs. So just seems to, and the person lying down actually I think feels more comfortable if they've already been to you once. They kind of know what they're going to expect. It's not like you're in one position, then you go to another position, and they're thinking, oh, I wonder where they're going to go next. You know, it's just like it has a nice fluid motion to it.
To come back to the symbols and the mantras as taught by the students of Mrs. DeCarter, did they explain as well different aspects of the symbols and mantras? So, for example, one might say, oh, this is the power symbol, and another person might say, no, this is not the power symbol, this is something different. Or was it overall the same?
The actual content for the symbols were pretty much the same. And there wasn't a lot of material that went with the symbols. Is pretty basic. So there wasn't a lot of, I guess, a lot of different ways to say that, I guess. Both of them taught them pretty much the same way. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And okay. I assume there was the same for the mantras for it.
Yes, the mantras were the same between the students.
Mrs. DeCarter may not have been very structured in her teachings, from the sounds of it. And yet, on the other hand, things that I'd heard had expressed that she was perhaps quite strict.
Right.
Is that your understanding?
that's my understanding, and that, you know, goes along with listening to some of these tapes that have been made of Takata teaching Reiki. She just was very, very direct and straightforward, and it's kind of laughable in a way. The content varied, but her teaching style did not, it seemed like.
Yeah. Is there something that you really love about all the research that you've done into Mrs. Takata? Something that really, you know, perhaps makes you feel a strong affinity to her? Because I guess you do.
I think she was humorous in a way, because I can just imagine this tiny woman and being very, very strict. I mean, just her whole voice. And if you get it, you know, if people have a chance to listen to some of these tapes that have been published, it's just, it's funny to know how these people reacted to her. I don't think many teachers actually teach like this. I don't know of anybody, save maybe one, who actually teaches the way that Takata teaches. We just don't do that. Perhaps it was acceptable, you know, at that time.
I guess she probably had a great charisma, and in that people were in awe of her and didn't, wouldn't talk back, basically.
Right. That, and she just could tell the most amazing stories. It's incredible. I mean, she really had a gift in that, listening to when she was, you know, telling all these stories. It was amazing.
Did she teach the chakra system at all?
No, she didn't. I specifically asked John Harvey Gray that, because that is something that John does include in his system, and I wanted to be very clear with him that I was interested in Takata's teachings, and I specifically asked him that question, did Takata teach the chakra system? And he said, no. And I said, okay, thank you.
Mm. Yeah. And Fran Brown said the same?
Fran Brown said the same thing. Takata, you know, Reiki was a complete system. Fran was involved with other kind of alternative methods, not quite like Reiki, but other things. But she gave them all up when she learned Reiki, because Reiki is a complete system, and you should not, you know, she's of the mind that you should not be mixing systems.
How then do you think that the chakra system entered the system of Reiki?
I think people. I mean, this is my personal view, of course, and this doesn't. This includes your question, but it's people seem to always add. They want to add and add and add to a system, and I think that if they got the training in Reiki and they would actually use the training in Reiki to get a really firsthand knowledge and in-depth experience using Reiki, perhaps. They wouldn't be drawn into trying to incorporate other things into the Reiki system. I think people have incorporated this, that, and the other thing, which is their own choice, of course, but I feel that if you have a complete system already and you've seen what Reiki can do, then you don't have that feeling that it's lacking something or that you want to incorporate something. I mean, that's my opinion. I mean, that's my own personal experience, but other people may differ on that.
So you think that actually in one way none of those 22 teachers taught the chakra system, or that some of her 22 teachers actually started to include the chakra system?
Well, some of them didn't start including it, like John, for instance, included it. And I'm pretty sure that from what Caroline Farmer told me, Phyllis did teach her some things and mentioned chakras and things like that to her. But that was way back in the 80s. And I believe Phyllis no longer teaches that. And perhaps even denies that she ever did teach that. But some of the teachers have gone on and incorporated other systems into Reiki, although it's very clear, and it's Takata states on a tape, on an audio cassette, not to do that, not to incorporate other systems.
Yeah.
And what about Iris Ishikuro? Did you ever speak to her?
No, she died a very long time ago. I don't even think I was into Reiki at that point. Mm. Now, I have talked to her daughter, and that's how I've gotten a lot of questions answered about Iris. And I talked to Arthur Robertson many times before he died. So that's kind of like, if I can't talk to one of the 22 because they've already passed on, then I try to find the master students who had an interaction with that person in question.
Yeah, because both Arthur and Iris did introduce a lot of material into the system of Reiki, I believe.
Yeah, and I'm thinking it's more Arthur than Iris personally, just from talking with Iris's daughter and what she had to say about Arthur. So it seems like Arthur was perhaps the one that really started changing things, and it wasn't too much Iris's doing. But I don't know if we'll ever know for sure, but that's my suspicion now.
Can you tell a little bit about your training with Fran Brown? Because, as you said before, she was very much into the Reiki. She dropped all the other kind of teachings he was working with. And just how she was teaching and how she is dealing with the system of Reiki.
What I like about her, she only teaches what Takata taught her. And that, to me, is, of course, what I like in a teacher. She teaches very similar style to Takata. She also encourages students to come to her Reiki share so they can continue to learn more. She teaches usually over a three-day period for Reiki 1 and 2 days for Reiki 2. And her master training is such that it's, you know, long. I think it's, which is ideal. It's maybe over a year or two, and you're supposed to sit in on so many classes of her teaching. It's like 10 or 12,
And is that how she was taught by Takata?
Actually, she was taught, she was taught by Takata over an intense period of time, but it was like 5 days. I'm pretty sure I'm remembering that correctly. I think she had her master class in 5 days. But after that, she invited Takata to come out to where she was living and teach, you know, Reiki 1, Reiki 2 classes so she can get more experience watching Takata teach and just be around Takata more to learn.
Mm, because I also understand that Mrs. Takata had, she did teach some students close together and others far apart between their levels. So they might learn Reiki 1 year and Reiki 2 the next, or they might actually do it quite close together. Do you know much about that?
Yes, yeah, some of them were taught very quickly, within, I think, a year. They learned Reiki 1, 2, and the master level. And others, it was drawn out over a period of, you know, 3, 4, or 5 years, I believe. So it just depended on, I suppose, the student's willingness to learn or the student's willingness to go forward. Who knows why, but it's quite shocking, actually, that I think it was Bethel Fay that she learned within a year. So there are those examples.
Coming back to Fran Brown, she once went to Japan and met with Mrs. Yamaguchi, who trained with Hayashi. Can you tell a bit more about this meeting?
Sure. At that meeting, Shakuten Inamoto, of course, was the translator, and he was still studying with Mrs. Yamaguchi. And Fran was very, very interested in meeting this student of Hayashi. And so during that meeting, they compared their teaching styles, they compared their initiation styles, and they found that they were, you know, very similar. So Fran was very happy about that, and Mrs. Yamaguchi actually told Fran, "You are the only one, you know, teaching the Hayashi system in the West because of the similarities." And of course, Fran was very happy about that because Fran always tried to remain true to Takata's teachings.
Coming back to the attunement, nowadays you see many attunements which are very elaborate. I assume that Fran Brown's attunement was quite simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's simple. That goes back with I think, people adding things in for one reason or another. More is better, right? It's a common misperception. And that, I mean, that is definitely the American perception. More is better, you know. I'm not just giving you Reiki. I'm also giving you, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And so things tend to be drawn out elaborately, and the initiations are not that complicated. And but, you know, that's just how things go, I guess, throughout history. Things change.
Talking about keeping true to the teachings, I understand that Beth Gray also claims to try to stay true to the teachings. I know that she's had a stroke. Have you had a chance to talk to her perhaps before that happened?
No, I didn't. In fact, when I was staying with John, I asked his second wife about Beth, and I was aware that she had a stroke, and I guess she can talk, but it's just, it takes a long time. But so I could have written to her, and that was one of my options, but I decided, well, she's retired, and I just feel that I just didn't want to bother her, pretty much. So so I never had contact with her.
You spoke before about Fran Brown having Reiki shares and wanting the students to continue to study with her. Did Mrs. Takata have Reiki shares?
Oh, that's a good question. Honestly, I don't know. I've never even thought to ask.
You'll have to get into that one then.
The thought has never even crossed my mind. So I don't know.
Is there some other kind of aspect during your research into Mrs. Takata and her students would you like to really talk about or mention to people who are listening to our program?
Well, I think the most shocking thing for me is that these people, some of these 22 that were the masters of Takata, did not either teach Reiki after that, or they just kind of walked away from it. And that's just something that I found one of the most shocking things, that here's somebody, one of the 22 of Takata, and they just walked away and didn't do anything with it. That always sticks out in my head.
Yeah, so maybe their journey changed.
Yes, it seems very, very odd. For me, it's like after Reiki 1, okay, after Reiki 2, okay, you know, and then to go on to that, the master level and pay, you know, the money, and then all of a sudden, you know, walk away from it. It seems very strange in a way, but understandable, I suppose, if I think about it a long time.
Yeah, you just said about the money. Did everybody actually paid $10,000 for their master training, or were there other teachers who actually paid less or nothing at all?
Right. There was not a set fee of $10,000. I mean, that's something that, you know, the Reiki Alliance, of course, actually the Reiki Alliance doesn't even say you have to pay I think it's something like $10,000 or the equivalent or something like this, but they did not all pay $10,000. Dollars outright. Some of them, what they did was they paid half, so they paid like $5,000, and then after they started training people in Reiki 1, they would take the Reiki 1 money they got for the class and give it to Takata until they paid $10,000. Others set up classes and kind of sponsored Takata to come, and then the class money, even though Takata was teaching the class money went to Takata as part of their master level fee, so to speak.
Yeah.
So there wasn't one set way.
I see that a lot of the students of Takata, the teacher students, that they, it must be how many, about 80% of them actually became Reiki Masters in 1979. Now, Mrs. Takata died in 1980.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that she deliberately did that because she knew she was getting, you know, on?
Well, see, that's an interesting question. it's interesting because she originally had trained, well, four, but three that she mentions in that the letter that you probably seen where she announces her retirement. And that was, I think, 1977. And she was happy to retire after training three masters, she states on the page, and then she had, of course, secretly, or maybe not so secretly, trained her sister as well. She came out of retirement for whatever reason, I'm not sure, but she did have a minor heart attack, I think it was about 1975, and at this point, she told people she'd actually fallen off a ladder, but she was actually a heart attack. So then, you know, at that point, she's like, wow, you know, I am, you know, the only master, perhaps, in the world. So she started training others, and then she trained, you know, the three, John, Ethel, and Virginia, and then retired and then came out of retirement and started training a lot more people. And I have no idea, but it seemed like she did train people up until she actually died, though. Right up until after she died. I mean, she died, I think, a month after training her last one, or very, very close, or something like that. Mm. So I think she would have trained more than 22 if she had lived.
There is a story, Robert, about Mrs. Takata going to Japan, and actually, let's see, met up with some Japanese Reiki teachers. And when she came back, she stated something that it was quite different as what she taught.
Okay, yeah, it's quite possible. I've heard so many stories that it's sometimes hard to keep them all straight who said what in my head at this point.
You never really have heard anything concrete about that.
Well, I do remember, and in fact, I think Takata mentioned all that tape. There's some tapes that I've heard. You see, they're not published. John has them, of Takata teaching. And one of those, she did go back, and she did meet with some of, I believe she met with some of Hayashi's other students. And she came back, but whether the teachings over there were different than her, I don't know. To tell you the truth, I can't remember. I'd have to actually look back in my notes and see what's written down.
Just coming back to the 22 teachers that she taught, do you think perhaps the reason why they didn't go on to teach that you were thinking about before might be because of the politics that ensued after she died?
Yes, that's what I heard about some of them, that some of them, specifically Ethel, you know, just was, there was all these Reiki politics after Takata died, and she just was like, I don't want any part of this. So she just kind of started doing her own thing and teaching a different system. That's kind of how some things happen, I suppose. But yes, politics just did play a part in some of them, not teaching others. Just didn't want to teach, I suppose. George didn't want to teach. He just wanted to do research. He was trying to actually set up some kind of study to prove Reiki or to do something with Reiki, and he found that the variables would be too difficult, so he just said forget it.
Well, I think our time is finished for the Reiki show, and thank you, Robert. That was very interesting.
Well, I hope so. Thanks for calling me and doing this.
Well, perhaps, you know, if you ever feel motivated to get back into doing some research, we might interview you again and get a few more tasty bits of history from you.
Sure.